Hi everyone, I'm Jenna from England, Newcastle University. I hope you can all understand my accent. I keep trying to adopt a weird American accent when I'm talking to you all, so I kind of verge into this weird Geordie American thing. Please excuse me. Okay. So I'm just going to talk to you about my PhD project. I'm now in my third year of my project, funded by the Economics and Social Research Council. My topic is emotional and behavioural difficulties and communication in children aged 4 to 8 years old, so the children in the primary schools across the UK. My supervisor is Professor James Law from Newcastle University. So a bit of background about why I'm doing this project. Well, there's increasing evidence for a relationship between emotional and behavioural difficulties in children and speech-language communication deficits in children in primary schools in the UK. These language and communication deficits either are communicative in nature, so they have problems with receptive and expressive deficits, or they're structural in nature, so problems with the syntax, semantics, phonology of their language. There has been suggestion that behaviour problems in children may be non-verbal forms of communication, so they're acting out because they don't have the efficient enough language ability skills to express themselves verbally. So my research question, well, what do we know? We know there's evidence for a relationship between the two. So problematic behaviour is linked with a poorer language communication ability, and we know this relationship is stable over time. There has been evidence that children with language disorders experience marked social deficits in adulthood similar to those of adults with ASD. But what we don't know is the nature and extent of this relationship, or whether Lena can help inform theory about the relationship between language communication and problematic behaviour in children. So my research question is, how do children with ABD differ in their use of verbal and non-verbal communicative interactions to typically developing children? So a bit of background about what ABD actually is, because I know the definitions vary across cultures. It's an umbrella term to describe various internalizing and externalizing behaviors, such as anxiety, aggression, ADHD behaviors, attention problems, and it also represents a spectrum of behaviors, so the nature and severity varies across children. In the UK, this is a highly significant category. It affects about 18.6% of children who have special educational needs within UK primary schools. It's one of, ABD and speech, language and communication are both categories, are 2 of 4 primary areas of special educational needs within the UK education system. Most problematic types of behaviour are the externalising behaviours, so persistent disruptive behaviour in primary schools are most common reason for school exclusions, and in the UK over the past 7 years, rates of school exclusions in primary school children, both permanent and temporary exclusions, have been shown to increase, so it's an important issue to address, I think. In my own project, EBD sampling will be identified based on the children that are on school behaviour registers for problematic behaviour. The help of special educational needs coordinators who work with these children, as well as results of the strengths and difficulties questionnaire. So answering the research question, so I'm combining two methodological techniques. Lena will give my verbal output, so I'm looking at primarily the child vocalizations and the conversational turns of these children, as well as observer techniques. So observer software is a video coding analysis software. So that allows me to develop my own behavior coding scheme and then manually code the children's behavior. So this, by combining these two, I can look at the verbal communication as well as the non-verbal behaviors of these children. Their interactions will be recorded and assessed whilst they complete a communication task. This communication task is called the Story in a Box game, and it's something that I've developed myself, which I'll tell you a bit more about. So the Story in a Box game, I was looking to develop a task which would really engage these children because a lot of them are hyperactive, inattentive. I need something that's going to like hold their attention for a long enough period of time and something that's going to make them interact with a peer, get them talking in conversation. So it's based upon a story structure with a problem-solving nature. So one behaviour child is paired with a typical child. They're matched on age, sex, non-verbal IQ ability and language ability. They're paired together to complete this task and they complete two box games. Mainly the only reason I've got two is because I found when I did some initial trials developing this, I found that the children with behaviour problems, the inattentive ones, tend to complete the task twice as quickly as typical children. So they're really keen, they're really eager, and they're super quick to complete it. So I thought, well, Lena, I know, needs at least 10 minutes audio to process all its data. So I thought, right, well, I'll just make two box games and let's see what happens. So I've just put a little picture there. That's me. That's the layout of the game. So in the middle of the table, you can see the box game. It starts off where I introduce the story, and I say, can you help the main character in the story find his way through certain tasks, solve certain problems, and complete the task altogether. So each child wears a DLP. They're placed about 2 meters apart from each other. Just for ethical reasons, I don't have their faces in here, but you can see the layout of the game there. So informing theory, well, I don't have a lot of leaner information about children with emotional behavioural difficulties. So all of my hypotheses and theory are just based on existing leaner data. So we know that there's a difference. Leaner can differentiate between the vocalisations of children with autism, language delay, and typically developing children. We know there's differences in the characteristics of conversations between children with autism and typical children. So autistic children engage in fewer conversational turns, have fewer speech-related utterances, but higher frequencies of speech monologues. We also know that persistently disruptive children possess deficits in social communication similar to those of children with autism. They have poor pragmatic skills and mentalizing abilities such as theory of mind. So that's what I've used really to generate a few questions and hypotheses about what I might find. So with regards to my vocal observations, so my leaner outputs, child vocalization count, I thought we might find the behavior group of children vocalizing more than typical children, but maybe engaging less in conversational turns or perhaps even initiating fewer conversational turns either with myself or with a peer. Behavioural observations, so this is my manual behaviour coding. Does the behaviour group of children reference their partner any more or less than typically developing children? Do they engage in less eye contact? Do they initiate joint attention less than typical children? So before I began to complete my actual real data, I did some early trials because I hadn't used Lena before. I thought I just want to learn what it's about and what its capabilities are with this group of children. So I did a few trials and I found a significant difference between child vocalization count and conversational turn count between the behavior group and the typical group of children. So the behavior group were vocalizing a lot more and engaging in fewer conversational turns than the typical group. So this is exactly what I had thought I might see. And also the key reports that Lena produced helped to inform the development of my behavior coding scheme. So the coding scheme that I used with Observer, it's verbal, it codes verbal behaviours as well as non-verbal behaviours, but things like speech monologue timing, I've taken all the timing definitions from the Lena categories. So what Lena defines as a speech monologue, I've also applied to my own manual behaviour coding of vocalisations. So there's scope for Lena audio and data video coding to be viewed together and compared, and I've tried to standardise both coding schemes together. So what I've found so far, well, I'm almost there, I'm not quite there, I'm just over halfway. I've got so far 12 out of 20 pairs of children's data. I've used SPSS analysis, 8X and transcriber for the analysis of my vocalizations. And just to standardize my analysis, I've taken out the same minute segments of each child's data. So that eliminates any of my initial introductory speech or any of the in-between going on between swapping each box game. So between the first box game and the second, that's all gone. I've literally taken 4 minute segments of box game one and 4 minute segments of box game two to analyze. Unfortunately, SPSS analysis hasn't revealed any significant differences that I was hoping for. So I haven't found any significant effective group on child vocalization count or turns, or any differences in the number of initiations or responses made by the behavior of typical children. No differences in the frequency of speech monologues, and ADEX, I did a brief analysis on the number of vocalization activity blocks, thinking that there may be more vocalization blocks from the behavior children, but I haven't found any significant differences. However, when you visualize the count data on a bar chart, it's marginal, but you can see trends in child vocalization count and child and the conversational turn count. So the behavior group are vocalizing slightly more than the typical children, and they're engaging in slightly fewer conversational turns than the typical children. The typical group are making slightly more initiations as well as the behavior group. So whether this will become statistically different with when my sample size grows, well, I hope so. So I just wanted to say a few positive things about what I've learned about Lena from my research so far. So the Lena system can effectively record and produce key reports on the vocalization activity of children with emotional behavioral difficulties. So these children are very inattentive in their behaviors. They're very fidgety. Trying to get them to sit still for 10 minutes is quite hard. But I thought it might perhaps affect the recording audio quality, but it's not. So the DLPs are still effectively identifying the key child's vocalization. So when I listen back to the audio, what Lena says is a key child is actually the key child. So this also means that two DLPs can be used in close proximity of each other. So despite the children only being sort of about 2 to 3 meters away from each other, the DLP is still correctly identifying which child it's listening to. This, for my benefit, greatly reduces task time, because initially when I had one DLP, I was having to record one child, upload the data, and then give it to child number two, upload the data. This way I can have each child wearing a DLP, completing the same task at the same time. And my combination of methodologies, well, Lena can be used alongside another methodology, such as Observer software. So the future analysis of this will reveal their true compatibility. I'll be interested in to find out how the extent to how much they complement each other. So does one technology tell me something more about the other one? What can manual coding tell me about Lena, that Lena coding's calm? Future steps. So I'm going to go home and finish off my data. I'm going to do my video coding and compare my video coding to Lena codes. To what extent, again, what extent do they complement each other? And future questions. Well, I'm interested really in voice quality. So is there any evidence that the voices of behavior children are different to those of typical children? So the differences in stress levels, pitch, direction. And is there any scope for Lena to inform us about the acoustic properties of vocalization children with behavior problems? Acknowledgements. I'd really like to thank the Lena Foundation for all their help and support, especially you, Kim. You've been great along the way. And my supervisors back home. And I've just provided a list of references there for everyone who wants one. Thank you very much.